review where we were last week. We're trying to see people through the eyes of Jesus. How do they look to Jesus? How does he feel about people? I want to be more like Jesus. We sang the song, Lead Me to Some Soul Today. Thank you. Thank you. And on the back, you'll see my 10. And that's where you list the 10 names. They can be relatives, neighbors, doctors, nurses you go to. A lot of us, we know more doctors than we know anybody else nowadays. And medical folks. They all have souls. They could be saved. The gospel is for everybody. Everybody needs the gospel. Everybody needs the gospel. What was the old commercial? Aren't you glad you used Dial? Don't you wish everybody did? Aren't you glad you know Jesus? And I did use Dial. I'll guarantee that to you this morning. Aren't you glad you know Jesus? Don't you wish everybody did? Don't you want folks to go to heaven? Judgment Day is going to be the greatest tragedy of all time. No flood, no fire, no earthquake, nothing equals Judgment Day. And we want to be ready. There's a great day coming. And we want our friends to be ready. And we want to see them in heaven together. Lead me to some soul today. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. That's what we're focusing on here in our class. We started in Matthew 9 last week. Matthew 9, 35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Matthew 9, 35. Now verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. And we said that means, really, he got upset. To be moved with compassion. Have you ever seen something you just can't get out of your mind? I read this years ago in an article, and I can't get this out of my mind. I didn't see it. But one of our missionaries was in Vietnam. And one morning he was awakened by the crash of a trash can lid. And he got up to look out the window to see what it was and said there's a little boy, naked, about 5 years old, pus running down his forehead from a cut he had digging in the trash can trying to find something to eat. And I can't get that out of my mind. I can't get that out of my mind. Jesus was moved with compassion. He was shaken. This made him sick to his stomach. Have you ever seen something made you sick to your stomach? What was it? What did he see? He saw the multitudes. He saw the multitudes. How do you feel when you see lost folks? Does it bother you? When you know someone that didn't know Jesus died, does it bother you? Does it affect you? We get hard to everything. Every holiday, I expect to hear of a few hundred people killed on the highway, don't you? The other day, the little girl, first day at school, and somebody runs over on the way home, and they're picking her purple shoes up out of the road the day later. Does that bother you at all? We get so hardened. We have to soften our hearts. We want to have the heart of Jesus. Paul tells the Philippians in Philippians chapter 2, let the mind of Christ be in you. You need to see things the way Jesus sees them. What's wrong with these folks? Why are they making him sick in his stomach? Well, number one, he says, because they're weary. And my Bible has a note, hassled is the idea, harassed. The devil's mean, he's cruel, and his people are mean and cruel. Scattered like sheep. Having no shepherd. One scholar writes, if you read this in the original language, it's the idea almost of the man who fell among thieves and robbers and the good Samaritan came by and helped him. They're beat up and dying. They're helpless and hopeless. And he said to the disciples, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray. Remember the card? Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest. Pray. See lost souls and pray. That's what we're starting. That's where the card's about. We want to be praying about these folks. We will win souls if we'll just do what he tells us to do. Have the heart of Christ. Have the mind of Christ. Take the action of Christ. I want to be more like Jesus, do you? I want to think more like Jesus, do you? I want to feel more like Jesus, do you? In Romans chapter 12, we're told, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a holy sacrifice, holy acceptable to God, a living sacrifice, holy acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I need this every Sunday. I need an attitude adjustment. I need to go to the cross with Jesus. I need to think of the blood, and I need to think of his broken flesh for me. I need to have a refresher course, and I need to see the world through the eyes of Jesus. Today I want to look at you with another look at another passage with you, Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. If you would turn there with me, please. Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. Someone who had been transformed into the likeness of Christ more than most probably is Saul of Tarsus. Hated the church, hated Christians, killed them all he could, imprisoned them, tortured them. He was a true terrorist until Jesus knocked him down with a bright and shining light on the road to Damascus. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you're persecuting. Well, what would you have me do? Go into the city and it'll be told you what you'll need to do. That's where it started, wasn't it? You remember that? He's like Patty. He had to eat a two before. Whack! It changed him. It changed him. He never got to Rome. He wanted to get to Rome. He decided, since all these people are lost, the best thing he could do is sow the seed in the centers of population where there's a lot of commerce, there's a lot of travel, and the gospel will spread from those places. It's a real good plan. It's a real good plan. But he couldn't get to Rome. For some reason, the Spirit wouldn't let him get to Rome. I don't know why. I don't know what the timing was, but in his frustration, he wrote the book of Romans. And we are so lucky that he did, because he preaches the gospel to the church in the book of Romans. And he's going to introduce himself in these verses. He tells them, I've been wanted to come, but I've been hindered so many times, so I'm going to write you this letter. Starting in verse 14. And he explains why he wants to get to Rome. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Any of you in debt? Not a person in here in debt. Is that right? Is it in scripture? Raise your hand. Okay, one lady. I got one lady in debt. You're a spendthrift, right? Yeah, you're in debt. You're in debt. Anybody else in debt? All right, Tommy's in debt too. We're starting to confess, brother. We may have some restorations here today. No, I think we've all been in debt, haven't we? I hate debt. Do you hate debt? Mortgaging your future. Making promises you may not be able to keep. What percent of the world am I here? Have I heard lately living just paycheck to paycheck? In America, it's over 40%, I believe. If they don't get their next paycheck, they're done. Something like that. Paul felt in debt. He felt in debt to the Greeks. Now, those are the uppity crust folks, the Greeks folks. See, they had the high education. They had the high society. Rome was basically trying to live the Greek-type lifestyle in a lot of ways. And those are the really smart folks. And the barbarians, who's that? Well, that would be us and they're on down. today we'd call third world countries, that kind of thing. He says, I'm in debt to them. To the wise, that leaves me out, but maybe lets you in. And to the foolish. Now, there's my category. When I go out of the house, Patty often says, don't be stupid. It's hard for me to remember that until I get back. That's why things like this happen. It's another intelligence test I failed. But he says, I don't care how stupid you are, I'm in debt to you. Why is he in debt? He's found out that Jesus Christ died for sinners just like him. A little later in Romans, he'll say, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Everybody's in debt for their sin. And you can't get out of it. How are you going to get out of it? You can't pay your way out. Jesus tells about a fellow who owed, it'd be about, in our numbers, about $10 million to his master. And master's going to throw it in jail. He didn't think he'd ever pay it. And he said, oh, just give me a little patience. Just have a little patience and I'll pay you all of it. How are you going to do with a $10 million debt, lady? You going to pay that off? Tommy, can you handle that? I don't even know how to write that big a figure. Do you? That's the way I am. That's the way you are. We're all in debt. Nothing can save us but what? The blood of Jesus. God so loved the world. It made God sick. What Satan had done to his creation, to his creatures that he made in his own image. And Jesus came and died for us. Paul had heard the gospel through a two-before method, but he heard it. And when he learned what he must do, when Ananias came to him and said, Saul, Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins. What do you think he did? He took the medicine. He did what he was told. And he never got over Jesus forgiving him for being, even though as he saw himself the less than the least of all saints, less than the least, that's the whale's belly. That's as low as you get. Less than the least of all saints, having shed saints' blood. And now he felt obligated. Some versions will translate it, I am under obligation. Do you feel an obligation to the lost? To your lost neighbor who doesn't know Jesus? To your loved one that doesn't know Jesus? To the lady down at the grocery store that checks you out your groceries? Paul felt indebted to her. He felt indebted to Christ. He felt indebted to tell them, friends of mine, lost in sin, cannot find their way. That's what Jesus found about those people that were scattered like sheep needing a shepherd. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, Paul gives us further insight into the condition of the lost. He says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. Has blinded the minds. They can't see. They can't see. Several years ago, I was in a preacher's meeting, and I don't remember how this developed. It wasn't just our brethren. It was ministers from other groups. And one of the guys that worked with the youth spoke up and said, we are living in a culture of total biblical ignorance. He said, I'll have folks say to me, I don't know why my life is a mess. And said, I could tell them. They're not listening to God about anything. And that was several years ago. That's before we got to the place that we didn't even know what a woman was. Any man that gets a little confused says, I'm a woman. Come on into my bathroom. Yeah, sure. Blinded mind. Later in chapter 1 of Romans, he'll explain how that happens when people forget God, deny God, refuse to believe in God, and start worshiping creatures rather than the Creator. They lose all sense. They lose all ability. They're blinded. But that breaks Jesus' heart. That broke Paul's heart. That's what was driving him. Just like the missionaries we've been talking about who have been driven by a cause we don't quite understand. For us, church is something you take care of on Sunday morning in an hour or so and go on about your business the rest of the time. If you felt like it, put a little money in a plate and just go on. That's not their brand of Christianity. That's not like the Apostle Paul. He was under obligation to everybody on the earth. Verse 15, so as much as is in me, everything I've got, all the strength. How much are you supposed to love God with? All your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. How much is he going to apply to teach the gospel to the lost? It's going to be with all of his heart, with all his soul, with all of his strength, with all his mind, because that's how he loves God. What are you giving? What do I give him? 3%? I think they say you use 3% of your brain. I'm wearing that 3% out. I need to find another 3. How much of my heart, my soul, and my mind do I give to God? Really? As much as in me is, I am ready. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get ready. That's what we're doing here this morning. We're trying to get ready. We didn't come here for a soft seat where we can sit and sing and pray and feel better about ourselves. And we're trying to get ready. We're trying to get ready to go out there and please Jesus. Think like Jesus. Act like Jesus. I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. I'm ready. I'm working on getting ready. He was trying to get Timothy ready. He says, Timothy, you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I'm ashamed sometimes. I don't like being ashamed. When he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy, a lot of it is about shame. Don't be ashamed. The devil's used that forever. And right now, he's using it on Christians. We're being ashamed. We're not standing up for Jesus. We're not speaking out. We don't care. It's hard for us to do something as simple as every day pray for 10 people. Well, that would impede my watching my favorite show on TV. Yeah. Turn it off. You can pray during the commercials. They last. Have you ever noticed? You get 10 minutes of show and 20 minutes of commercials. You got just commercial time. Just pray. You can do that. Step in the light, you can pray. You can do that. You can sing that little song, lead me to some soul today. Oh, teach me. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. That's going to help me get ready. The Lord will teach you if you'll ask him. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. That is a real promise and it really works. I've had it work in my life over and over and over again. I'm seeing it work right now. As home mission comes in behind disaster relief, and those folks who are eating out of our refrigerators that we gave them are also hearing the gospel, and they're going to be fed the bread. I see them doing it right now. Ask, seek, knock. Pray. Start there. That's Romans 7, or I'm sorry, Matthew 7, if you want to go back and read. That is such an ensuring passage. Oh, it works so well. It works. God is so powerful. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. See there? I'm ready to preach the gospel to you because I'm not ashamed. Timothy, don't be ashamed. Don't you be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. He says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of Christ. It is the power of God. It is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also the Greek. Pentecost, there was Jews there from every nation under heaven. Chapter 10, we start reading about Cornelius. The Gentiles start obeying the gospel too. By the time you get to Antioch, a lot of the folks there, Gentiles. When Paul goes to Philippi and preaches the gospel. He preaches to a lot of Gentiles. Very likely the Philippian jailer was a Gentile. He was a Roman soldier. But the gospel is for everyone. Anybody can't obey the gospel. But they've got to know. They've got to hear. Somebody's got to get ready. Somebody's got to not be ashamed. That's us, folks. Because he says it's not you. See, that's what I'm worried about. I'm not smart enough. I won't know what to say. Well, the problem is you don't know what to hear. We'll get to that a little later on. But it's not you, it's him. He is the power. The word translated here, you probably heard this explained before. If not, let me remind you of it. Now, the word translated power comes from the word dunamis, which is a Greek word from which we get the word dynamite. He says the gospel is pure dynamite. Any of you ever play with dynamite? Do you want to play with dynamite? I just heard on the news the other day somebody found a live grenade in a garage sale, and they turned it in. And yes, it was still good. The bomb squad set it off, and it worked perfectly. Dynamite. Dynamite. I asked Patty if this was a little too far outlandish, but she said I could get away with it. So let's see if you all think so. I want to illustrate power. The gospel is power. Paul said it wasn't him, it was Christ. It's not me that lives, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in you. Are you letting him have power in your life? There's power in the blood. You ever sing that song? Okay. This is, the can says FFG, Gore-Tex Black Powder. It's empty. Don't worry, it's empty. I got a full one at home, but I didn't bring it. This is a bomb. When it's full, it's a bomb. It is a very dangerous explosion. If you buy this, they will usually go back nowadays and get it out of a safe. I got their attention, Mama. I got their attention. This is done. He says that's what this is. This is dynamite. This is dynamite. And we've come to treat it so lightly and think so little of it. Randy, I just make a mess everywhere I go. I know. All right. I better put this dynamite down. Don't you think? I might not be safe. No, I'm definitely not safe. Anyway, I brought you something else. I brought you a slug. This is a bullet, a hollow point bullet with scalloped sides, a 240 grain, 4.30 inches caliber bullet. It's to a 44 Magnum cartridge. The bullet has these little marks it's made of very soft metal and has little marks all the way around it so that when it hits something, it blows out like a flower and tears until it stops. But when I first got fooling with 44s, I was at a farmer's farm and I'd gotten permission to do some target shooting, and I made a mistake I've never made since. I put the target on a fence post. I shot three times, the fence post fell over. I learned put it on the wire. Tape it to the wire. Don't blow the man's fence post down. Now, this bullet is quite effective on deer and anything else you want to hit with it. When you put some gunpowder behind it. This is a loaded cartridge. And it has a hollow point bullet in it. And I would expect that cartridge to hit a target 100 yards away that size. If it doesn't do that, I'm angry. I'm very, very angry. This is a very... very lethal device. The only difference between this and this is gunpowder. I'll teach you a little bit more about ballistic science. If I drop that bullet and shoot this round the same exact instant, when this bullet hits the ground, if I'm holding it flat, this bullet will hit the ground. The amount of gunpowder that's in here makes all the difference between what this bullet did and what that bullet did. Now, the gospel is the gunpowder. You and I'm afraid, I've kind of gone around like duds. Because we were afraid to use the dynamite, the gospel. I'm afraid some of my sermons have been kind of that dud kind of thing. Someone said the gospel makes a person either mad, sad, or glad. But it will have an effect. It will have an effect. It will have an effect. I'll tell you something else that has a lot of power in it, and that is prayer. Jesus says when you pray, believe that you have it, and it will be done with you. James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth freely and upbraideth not. But if he doubts, don't expect anything out of God. You've got to ask believing. How was that again from Matthew 7? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open unto you. These are all in the positive present tense. The Greek language has a action in each of the different type of tenses. And the present tense has a continuing action. It, in other words, it is describing something that you do and keep on doing. In other words, ask and keep on asking. Pray for these people and keep on praying. Ask and you shall receive. We're going to win souls, folks. I'm serious. If you will just believe, if you'll quit being a dud and get some power behind you, we can change the world anytime we get ready. God's been waiting on you to get ready. He's been waiting on me to get ready. I've seen him do it with the Church of Christ disaster relief effort. I can't believe what he did with just a simple prayer. Now, like one of my elders used to say, the prayer that moves mountains is the one when the prayer brings his shovel. You got to get involved. It's kind of like the guy who said, if you're going to pick up your cross and follow Jesus, you first have to get off the couch. We're talking about action. We're talking about doing something. Jesus came here to do something. Paul definitely had some power behind his work, didn't he? And you have the same power of the gospel that he had. Do you have the same commitment? Do I have the same? This is as much at me as anybody. God's waiting on us. It's time for us to do our part. And Jesus made it so simple. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to every person. It's my job. Matthew puts it a little differently. He says, make disciples of all the nations. Make them like Jesus. That's what a disciple is. It's a learner who's trying to become like Jesus. Lead me to some soul today. What are those names on your card? We said, say that, sing that, those songs with those people's names in there. I told you the first time I did that, I baptized that person that day. That day. But I dared put their name in there and pray about it. Now, it may not happen that quick for you. But how do you know you haven't tried? God works on the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. He can do all kinds of things to people. That person may have a terrible thing happen in their life. They may have a great fear, a great concern. There might be a time when you can come along beside them. I keep thinking, Tom, about the waitress who asked you to pray for a grandchild and have the church pray. That lady's reaching out. We'll teach you more about how to recognize folks who are reaching out as we go on. But the first thing I need to do is I need to learn to pray, Lord, lead me to that soul today. Do you have a child that's worrying you to death? Are you praying about that child every day? We'll look at three kinds of lost folks to help us understand a little bit more about those people that are blinded by Satan, and they don't even have any idea. The Nineveh was like that. They didn't know their right hand from the left. We got folks that bad today. Hey, I grew up on a farm. I know the difference between the boys and the girls. And somebody who's a boy just can't raise his hand and say, I'm a girl. Now, that don't make you a girlfriend. I'm sorry. That doesn't change anything. God made you what you are. He made marriage what it was to be. He wanted children to have a mother and a father. The real ones, the way you learned them back yonder, not the way they're talking about it now. You can't choose some things. I wish I had Indian blood. You get to hunt year-round. You don't have any laws to hold you back. I can't create Indian blood in me. As far as I can tell, I don't have any. I am what God made me. You are too. And this morning, are you a Christian? Aren't you glad you're saved? If you have any doubts about your salvation, don't leave that way. Don't live that way. God doesn't want his children doubting whether or not you're his children. Yeah, you're a sinner, you're mean, and you're awful, but God loves you anyway. Just repent and turn back to him. That's what we all need to do. We need to ask him to help us. Lead us to that soul today. Teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin, cannot find their way. Few there are that seem to care. Do you care? Few there are who pray. Are you going to pray? Melt my heart. Change my life. Give me one soul today. Is that too soon? No, Paul says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Let's bow together. Dear Father, help us recognize the dynamite of the gospel. Brother Mike's going to talk to us about the wonders of grace. He's been talking to us about that. Help us love souls enough that we want everyone to enjoy the saving grace of Jesus. Thank you, dear Father, that we learned one day. Thank you, dear Father, that Paul learned one day and that he understood it put him under obligation, indebted to everyone who didn't know yet. Help us, dear Father, feel that responsibility and help us carry it out so one day soon we may hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." In Jesus' name.